He is in Council Bluffs at an installation for a friend and Pastor Poppy. Who knows? No, they warned me that I might be flying solo this evening, so we'll get through it. Order of service, prayer and preaching, page 260. Opening hymn 909, Christ is Made the Sure Foundation. Let us pray. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. O Lord, our Creator, Redeemer, and Comforter, as we come to worship in spirit and in truth, we humbly pray that You would open our hearts to the preaching of Your Word, so that we may repent of our sins, believe in Jesus Christ as our only Savior, and grow in grace and holiness. Hear us for the sake of Your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Hymn 909. Service of prayer and preaching, page 260. This is the day which the Lord has made. From the rising of the sun to its setting, better is one day in your courts than a thousand elsewhere. Make me to know your ways, O Lord.
Teach me your paths.
Sanctify us in your truth.
Your word is truth.
From the rising of the sun to its setting,
the name of the Lord is to be praised.
Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen.
First reading for the festival of St. Peter and St. Paul is written in Acts chapter 15. But some men came down from Judea and were teaching the brothers, "Unless you are circumcised according to the custom of Moses, you cannot be saved." And after Paul and Barnabas had no small dissension and debate with them, Paul and Barnabas and some of the others were appointed to go up to Jerusalem to the apostles and the elders about this question. So, being sent on their way by the church, they passed through both Phoenicia and Samaria, describing in detail the conversion of the Gentiles, and brought great joy to all the brothers. When they came to Jerusalem, they were welcomed by the church and the apostles and the elders, and they declared all that God had done with them. But some believers who belonged to the party of the Pharisees rose up and said, "It is necessary to circumcise them and to order them to keep the law of Moses." The apostles and the elders were gathered together to consider this matter. And after there had been much debate, Peter stood up and said to them, "Brothers, you know that in the early days God made a choice among you, that by my mouth the Gentiles should hear the word of the gospel and believe. And God, who knows the heart, bore witness to them by giving them the Holy Spirit, just as He did to us. And He made no distinction between us and them, having cleansed their hearts by faith. Now, therefore, why are you putting God to the test by placing a yoke on the neck of the disciples that neither our fathers nor we have been able to bear? But we believe that we will be saved through the grace of the Lord Jesus, just as they will." And all the assembly fell silent, and they listened to Barnabas and Paul as they related what signs and wonders God had done through them among the Gentiles. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
We continue with the words of our gradual as printed on your insert. We speak them together.
How beautiful are the feet of those who preach the good news, who publish peace and bring good news of salvation. Their voice has gone out to all the earth, and their words to the ends of the world.
The epistle is written in Galatians chapter 2. Then after 14 years I went up again to Jerusalem with Barnabas, taking Titus along with me. I went up because of a revelation and set before them, though privately before those who seemed influential, the gospel that I proclaim among the Gentiles, in order to make sure I was not running or had not run in vain. But even Titus, who was with me, was not forced to be circumcised, though he was a Greek. But because of false brothers secretly brought in, who slipped in to spy out our freedom that we have in Christ Jesus, so that they might bring us into slavery. To them we did not yield in submission even for a moment, so that the truth of the gospel might be preserved for you. And from those who seem to be influential, what they were makes no difference to me. God shows no partiality. Those, I say, who seemed influential added nothing to me. On the contrary, when they saw that I had been entrusted with the gospel to the uncircumcised, just as Peter had been entrusted with the gospel to the circumcised, for he who worked through Peter for his apostolic ministry to the circumcised worked also through me for mine to the Gentiles. And when James and Cephas and John, who seemed to be pillars, perceived the grace that was given to me, they gave the right hand of fellowship to Barnabas and me, that we should go to the Gentiles and they to the circumcised. Only they asked us to remember the poor, the very thing I was eager to do. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
We continue with our introit, as printed on your service insert. We speak it together.
I will speak of your testimonies before kings, O Lord, and shall not be put to shame. I will sing of the steadfast love of the Lord forever. With my mouth I will make known your faithfulness to all generations. Let the heavens praise your wonders, O Lord, your faithfulness in the assembly of the holy ones. Blessed are the people who know the festal shout, who walk, O Lord, in the light of your face, who exult in your name all day, and in your righteousness are exalted. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen.
I will speak of your testimonies before kings, O Lord, and shall not be put to shame. The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 16th chapter. Now when Jesus came into the district of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, "Who do people say that the Son of Man is?" And they said, "Some say John the Baptist, and others say Elijah, and others, Jeremiah or one of the prophets. He said to them, "But who do you say that I am?" Simon Peter replied, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus answered him, "Blessed are you, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. And I tell you, you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Forever, O Lord, your word is firmly set in the heavens.
Lord, I love the habitation of your house and the place where your glory dwells.
Blessed are those who hear the word of God and keep it.
Lord, I love the habitation of your house and the place where your glory dwells.
Glory be to the Father and to the Son and to the Holy Spirit.
Lord, I love the habitation of your house and the place where your glory dwells.
We stand. Catechism, page 264. The Ten Commandments. You shall
have no other gods. You shall not misuse the name of the Lord your God. Remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. Honor your father and your mother. You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. He who worked through Peter for his apostolic ministry to the circumcised worked also through me for mine to the Gentiles. At one time there stood between Jew and Gentile a dividing wall of hostility. On the one hand, you have the Jews, God's people chosen by Him from the beginning. On the other hand, you have the Gentiles, those who at one time were separated from Christ, who were cut off from the commonwealth of the people of Israel, strangers to the covenants of promise, and in this way were without hope and indeed without God in the world. They stood outside of the nation of Israel, and indeed they were hostile enemies to it. This dividing wall of separation, however, was not an impassable or unbreachable wall. God did not construct it in order to keep the Gentiles outside of the salvation appointed for all men. Quite the opposite. He erected the wall and built it around His people Israel in order to separate out for Himself a nation from which He would call forth the promised seed. And in that seed would be the sacrifice for the sins of all mankind, whether Jew or Gentile. This evening we celebrate the festival of the Apostles St. Peter and St. Paul. It is the ministry of these two men that represents and indeed brings reconciliation to the hostility that existed not only between Jew and Gentile, but also between all men and God. St. Peter and St. Paul alike proclaimed Jesus not to be John the Baptist raised from the dead, not to be Elijah or one of the prophets, Jeremiah or any of the rest, but they proclaimed Him to be the Christ, the one in whom perfect reconciliation between God and man has been accomplished, the one in whom Jew and Gentile alike are held together as if in one body. St. Peter and St. Paul unapologetically, unreservedly, and unabashedly proclaim Jesus to be the one whom God brought forth from the nation of Israel. That is to say again, the one in whom perfect reconciliation between God and man, between Jew and Gentile, is to be found. To the Jews, St. Peter says, all that was proclaimed and done in the Old Testament now finds its perfect fulfillment in Jesus. So take the Sabbath day, for example. 6 days you shall do your labor, but on the seventh day you will rest. It has been set aside as holy to the Lord. That Sabbath rest, that Sabbath day in the Old Testament, now finds perfect fulfillment in the perfect obedience, the shed blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, wherein you have perfect rest from your works. The sacrificial system, all the animals that were slaughtered on the altar at the temple, the high priest and indeed the temple itself, all find their fulfillment in Jesus, who is the once for all sacrifice for sin, who is our great high priest and indeed is the indestructible temple, as he himself says. To the Gentiles, St. Paul likewise announces that in the fulfillment of these oracles that God spoke in the Old Testament, they now have God in the world, for Christ Jesus died for all men. No longer are they alienated from the commonwealth of Israel, because Jesus has granted to them perfect citizenship through the pouring out of His blood poured out upon them. No longer are they strangers to the covenants of promise, because they know them now perfectly fulfilled in Christ Jesus. But as it always happens, some slip in to spy out, particularly wicked thing to do, spy out the freedom that Jew and Gentile alike have in Jesus. And in this way, St. Peter says, they are trying to bring us again into slavery. For some Jewish Christians demanded that the Gentiles, the men, be circumcised and that all alike obey all the law of Moses in addition to faith in Christ. St. Peter answers that demand with a simple question. Why are you putting God to the test by placing a yoke on the neck of the disciples that neither our fathers nor we have been able to bear? For all man is saved through the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. Jew and Gentile must both have their hearts cleansed by faith, and neither one is saved through works. But it is the opinion of man that he can or must in some way appease God through his works. In dogmatic terms, the Latin phrase, this is called the opinio legis, the opinion that man is justified before God by his works. But it is not through our works that we share in the commonwealth of Israel. It is not through works that we have God in the world. It is not through works that we have hope. It is not through works that we have come to know perfectly the covenants of promise given to the people of Israel. But it is through the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ proclaimed in the gospel that we all, Jew and Gentile alike, receive these immeasurable gifts from our Lord. So we must thrust from ourselves any opinion that would place the law of God, that is our works, before His grace in view of salvation. Now in the 21st century, it's hardly imaginable that somebody would stand up in our congregation and demand that all the men be circumcised and that all the people together keep the law of Moses in addition to faith in Christ. That would be a little ridiculous. And we would probably just shut them out, but only because of the absurdity of the demand. The theology behind the demand of these Jews, though, looms large amongst many Christians. You can hardly breathe the air of American Christianity without inhaling the poisonous fumes of the opinio legis, the opinion that man is justified in God's sight through his work. On the one hand, liberal Protestants, liberal Christian churches, spew forth nothing more than a social gospel that delights only in lavish works of philanthropy, love works for man. But they thrust from themselves the doctrine of sin, the doctrine of reconciliation, the doctrine of the resurrection, the doctrine of the shed blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, wherein this reconciliation is found. That is to say, they cast a vision of Christianity that throws away the apostolic doctrine. They hate the theology, in other words, of St. Peter and St. Paul. And it's not much better on the other side of the fence, in the so-called conservative Christian world that's made up of primarily people from Baptist backgrounds or former evangelicals, where it's taught that man has a free will to make a decision for Jesus. That is to say, your salvation depends on the right action of your will. So what have they done? They have taken something that has been accomplished, that is proclaimed as finished, salvation, and they plop that burden in your lap. And it doesn't stop at your decision for Jesus. Everything now is framed in terms of the law. So baptism is not what the Scriptures say, a lavish washing of regeneration and renewal of the Holy Spirit. It's talked about as an outward sign of an inward grace or an inward decision. So they're doing it in order to show you that they have been obedient in making a decision for Jesus. Likewise with the Lord's Supper. You do not come to the rail to receive into your mouth the forgiveness of sins, the strengthening of faith, life, and salvation. You come forth for nothing more than a crass work of remembrance. Now, we certainly remember the death of our Lord as we partake of His body and blood, but that is preeminently found and heard in the proclamation of the forgiveness of sins. With regard to worship, worship is not God's work toward man, but it's rather talked about as man's work to show God how great He is. This flies in the face of what Jesus says of Himself. I came not to be served. And He still comes not to be served, but to serve His people, to give His life as a ransom for many, to give His body and His blood as a ransom for many. So you see the pattern. And this law-filled opinion runs wild in all areas of Christendom. This is the draw of the natural man, your old Adam, your sinful flesh. One pastor said, he is more zealous and religious than you think. And he is at all times trying to thrust from you the doctrine of the perfect reconciliation that is found in Jesus and drum up in yourself a trust in your own works. We already heard from Peter that this is to put a yoke of slavery back on our backs, because the law demands perfect obedience. St. Paul teaches that that perfect obedience has been rendered by one God-man alone, Jesus Christ. And it is in Him that that perfect obedience that the law demands is fulfilled for our sake. And it is for His sake and faith in Christ that we receive this perfect obedience. So the wall of hostility between Jew and Gentile has been removed because each one is justified before God by the same Christ. Indeed, we are all justified by God, before God by the same Christ. And indeed, the hostility between God and man has found perfect reconciliation because Jesus alone has rendered perfect satisfaction, made complete reconciliation with God by shedding out His blood for you. You have had your hearts cleansed through faith and through the washing of water with the Word and with the body and blood of our Lord received into your mouths and through the proclamation of the forgiveness of sins from the pulpit and holy absolution. We give thanks to God that He saves all alike, Jew and Gentile, through the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. And we give thanks to God for the ministry of St. Peter and St. Paul that shows to us that all mankind, Jew, Gentile, all alike, are saved and reconciled to God in Christ Jesus. Thanks be to God. Amen. We continue with hymn 645, Built on the Rock. service continues with the offering. Service continues with the prayers of the church, page 265. We stand. In peace, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the gift of divine peace and of pardon, with all our heart and with all our mind, let us pray to the Lord. For the holy Christian Church here and scattered throughout the world, and for the proclamation of the gospel and the calling of all to faith, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For this nation, for our cities and communities, and for the common welfare of us all, let us pray to the Lord. For seasonable weather and for the fruitfulness of the earth, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For those who labor, for those whose work is difficult or dangerous, and for all who travel, especially the Scammon family who will be in Lincoln this Friday, and for the group going to Hired Things next week on July 5th, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord.
For all those in need, for the hungry and homeless, for the widowed and orphaned, and for all those in prison, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the sick, especially Charlie and Bonnie, and for the dying, and for all those who care for them, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
Finally, for these and for all our needs of body and soul, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy. Christ, have mercy.
Lord, have mercy.
Merciful and eternal God, your holy apostles Peter and Paul received grace and strength to lay down their lives for the sake of your Son. Strengthen us by your Holy Spirit that we may confess your truth and at all times be ready to lay down our lives for him who laid down his life for us, even Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Blessed Lord, you have caused all Holy Scriptures to be written for our learning. Grant that we may so hear them, read, mark, learn, and inwardly digest them, that by patience and comfort of your Holy Word, we may embrace and ever hold fast the blessed hope of everlasting life through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
I thank you, my Heavenly Father, through Jesus Christ, your Son,
that you have graciously kept me this day, and I pray that you will forgive me all my sins, for I have done wrong, and graciously keep me this night. For into your hands I commend myself, my body and soul in all things. Let your holy angel be with me, that the evil foe may have no power over me. Amen.
Almighty and merciful Lord, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, bless and preserve us.
Amen.
Our closing hymn, 611, you may be seated. Good evening once again, Good Shepherd Lutheran Church. Glad to be with you. Solo man. So I don't have any announcements other than to say and remind you that the Scammons will be here, sounds like Friday, but they're moving in Saturday morning at 8 o'clock. I don't know if that address has been emailed out or anything, but it's 1815 South 51st Street. Just southeast of Bryan East Hospital. And the other thing I would remind you, too, is to just keep the Kranzes in your prayers. Bethany's got to be pretty close to her due date, and Mark's on week 3 of Summer Greek, so they got quite a couple months ahead of them here. So keep them in your prayers. The Lord be with you, unless there are any other things to be announced. The tower's evidently up, so you can go and gawk at it after the service if you'd like. So the Lord be with you.